Well, if you've been with us at all, you know that we've been in a series for quite some time that's been taking us through the Bible. But today we're going to take a little break from that series through the Bible to jump into a four-week Christmas series titled Advent Conspiracy. Now, this is really more than just a series. It's actually a movement that started 14 years ago to challenge people to rethink Christmas. And we actually participated in this series, in this movement, the first couple years after planning the church. And as I was praying about what to do this year, what to do for Christmas, I felt like the Lord was leading me back to this series, to Advent Conspiracy, and just this movement of rethinking Christmas. Now, this series, it came out of an idea that started 14 years ago when a group of pastors got together back in 2006 and began to talk about how they could do Christmas differently. Because they realized that what Christmas was supposed to be and what Christmas had become were two totally different things. And many of us have heard the saying, Jesus is the reason for the season. And I know many of us believe that. We know that's true. But the reality is, Christmas in our culture is oftentimes about everything but Jesus. And so these pastors started about thinking how they could do something different at Christmas time, how they could recapture the true heart of Christmas. And so out of these conversations with these pastors came this Christmas movement known as Advent Conspiracy. Now, it started with just four churches back in 2006, but it has grown to thousands of churches worldwide that are rethinking Christmas every single year. Churches that are encouraging their congregations to stop and remember what Christmas is really all about. So over the next 4 weeks, as we head into Christmas, we're going to once again be walking through this series titled Advent Conspiracy. And in these 4 weeks, we're going to look at four topics which will challenge us to rethink Christmas. We're going to talk about worshiping fully. We're going to talk about spending less. We're going to talk about giving more. And we're going to talk about loving all. And so today we're going to start with the first one, worship fully. And here's the thing. We won't be able to spend less, give more, and love all if we aren't learning to worship fully, because it starts with worship. The season of Christmas, more than anything, is about worshiping the King. And so the question is, what does it mean to worship fully? Well, I think first of all, we have to make sure that we realize that worship does not equal music, right? Because the truth is, when most people hear the word worship, where do they go? They think of worship in the sense of singing praises to the Lord. But if you've been around here very long, you've heard me share that worship is far more than music. Even though that is one of the ways we worship, it's not the only way we worship. You see, worship is something that comes from inside of us. And it's something that's lived out moment by moment in our actions, in how we live. It's through our actions that we're able to fully worship God, to worship Him in all that we do. And so this morning I want to look at several different people who were involved in the very first Christmas. And I want to look at how they worshiped God as an example of how we might learn to worship Him fully in this Christmas season ourselves. And so first, we're going to look at Matthew 1, verses 18 through 25, as we're going to take a look at Joseph and how he worshiped the Lord as he approached this first Christmas. And so Matthew 1, verses 18 through 25, it says this: "This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him, and he took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. And we're going to stop right there this morning. When we look at Joseph's response in these scriptures, we see the first thing that I want to point out this morning about how we worship. And so the first point this morning is this: we worship through a heart of obedience. Joseph honors God by doing what he had commanded him to do. He took Mary home to be his wife, and that honored God. You see, to worship fully, it starts with obedience. We need to listen and obey his commands. Now, that sounds easy enough, right? But the problem is, sometimes his commands can be a little challenging. Now, I'm guessing that many of us have heard this Christmas story time and time again. And we've heard it so much that I think sometimes we fail to really see the depth of the scriptures. We hear these words, "He took Mary home as his wife," and we think, well, what's the big deal? He was planning to marry her anyway, wasn't he? But we have to realize that this is no longer your typical marriage, especially for a Jew in these times. The woman who he's about to marry, she's pregnant. And she's at least 3 months pregnant. And he's finding all this out right before his wedding day. Imagine if this happened to one of us, right? Imagine if on the eve of your wedding night, you find out that your fiance is 3 to 4 months pregnant, and it's not yours. It's not your baby. Imagine if that would happen. As a matter of fact, the reality too is that she's been gone for the last 3 to 4 months visiting relatives. She hasn't been around you, right? Your friends and family, they're going to be able to do the math. They're going to be able to figure things out. They're going to know that this child isn't your child. Your whole world would be turned upside down. And everyone else would be saying, you know, dump her. And to be honest, you'd probably be thinking the same thing. But then you have a dream. And in your dream, an angel says it's okay. And they tell you to continue with the marriage. Can you imagine trying to explain that to your friends and family? No, I know it's not mine, but it's God's, right? She was impregnated by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit made her pregnant. It was a miracle. It was a miraculous thing that happened. Can you imagine trying to explain that to your family? We can only imagine how Joseph must have felt in these times. But the thing is Joseph believed what the angel had told him. And he trusts in God, even when it seems like something that's impossible. Even though it doesn't fully make sense, he obeys and does what he is told to do. That's worship. That's honoring God with a heart of obedience. And the question is, are we worshiping the Lord in this way? Are we worshiping fully with a heart of obedience to the Lord? Are we walking in obedience and doing the things that God has asked us to do? If not, then we're not really worshiping Him fully. Because one of the ways we worship fully is through obedience. Do we want Christmas to be meaningful? And maybe a better question is, do we want our lives to be meaningful? If so, then we need to learn to walk in obedience to the Lord. We need to follow the example of Joseph and worship the Lord fully by obeying His commands. Now, my next point I want to jump into is found in Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 38. And in this section of Scripture, I want to look at another familiar person from the very first Christmas. I want to look at Mary and how she worshiped the Lord. And so follow along with me as we're going to read Luke 1, verses 26 through 38. It says this: "In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, 'Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you.' Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid. Mary, you have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end.' 'How will this be?' Mary asked the angel, 'since I am a virgin.' The angel answered, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God.' 'I am the Lord's servant,' Mary answered. 'May it be to me as you have said.' And then the angel left her." And we're going to stop there. As we look at this section of Scripture, we see the second point I want to share about worship this morning, which is this: we worship also through a heart of submission. Mary worshiped by submitting to the Lord's will here in verse 38 when she said, "May it be as you have said," right? "Your will, Lord, not mine." That's what she was saying. Now, some may ask, you know, what's the difference between obedience and submission? Because aren't they kind of the same, you know? Well, even though they have some similarities, they aren't the same thing. You see, I would describe obedience as an outward action, while submission is more of an inward attitude, an inward response. Joseph, he obeyed. He did what was commanded to do. He put it into action, while Mary submitted as she put God's will above her own. And I think they go hand in hand, but here's the thing we have to realize. You can be obedient, but not necessarily be submitted. Let me give you an example of what I mean. A boy gets in trouble, right? Did something wrong, and so his mother tells him to go to his room and sit on his bed and think about what he had done. After a couple minutes, a little time goes by, the mother comes and checks on her little boy. He's mad. He's upset that he was sent to his room, and he tells his mother, "I'm sitting down on the outside, but I'm standing up on the inside." You see, the son was obedient, right? He went up, sat on the bed, did what his mom told him to do. He went and did those things, but he wasn't submissive. He wasn't submitted to his mom's authority. He did the outward part, but the inward heart of it all was missing. In our scripture this morning, Mary worshiped the Lord by submitting her will to the will of the Lord when she said, "I am the Lord's servant. May it be to you as you have said." She knew and believed that God's will was what was best for her. And she submitted to that will regardless of what it meant for her and her future. Because the reality is what the Lord had told her, what the Lord had asked of her, could have caused her all sorts of problems. And the reality is, it probably did. There were many things that we probably didn't see that happened, that Mary experienced. But she trusted the Lord's will above her own. And this heart of submission, it was an act of worship. Are we worshiping the Lord in this way? Are we submitting to His will? Not just obeying, not just going through the actions, but willingly choosing the Lord's will above ours. This act of submission, it's following Jesus instead of following ourselves. It's allowing God to not just be our Savior, but to also be the Lord of our life, to be in control as we trust that His will for our lives is better than our own. Even if His will looks a little scary or doesn't make sense, because this was a huge deal for Mary here. The reality is to be unmarried and to be with child could mean losing the man that she loved. It could mean being ostracized. And it even could have meant death back in these times. But she responds by saying, "May it be to me as you have said." She showed a heart of submission here, and she worshiped the Lord fully. And it's important that we look at our own lives and ask this question. Are we submitted to the Lord? Are we submitted to His will for our lives? Because in order for us to worship fully, we have to be willing to submit to the Lord. To not just do the outward act of obedience, to not just go through the motions, but to have a heart that's willing to follow Him and His will for our lives. Now I want to look at one last story this morning in regards to worshiping fully. And to do that, we're going to go back into Matthew again and look at Matthew chapter 2. In this section of Scripture, I want to take a look at the wise men and see how they worshiped the Lord at this time of the very first Christmas. And we're going to start out by reading the first two verses in Matthew chapter 2. It says this: "After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod, magi from the east came to Jerusalem," that's wise men, "and asked, 'Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw His star in the east and have come to worship Him.'" Now, I want to skip all the way to verse 9, but let me kind of just tell you what happens here in between. King Herod is upset. He finds out that there's another king that's been born. And so he tells him, "Go to Bethlehem. Let me know when you find this king so that I can go worship him as well," he said. But the truth is, he doesn't want to worship him. The truth is, he wants to kill him to make sure that he is the only king. And so this is where we're going to pick up now in verse 9 after he asked them this. And in verse 9 it says, "After they had heard the king, they went on their way. And the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and of incense and of myrrh." Now, we're going to stop there. It says that they bowed down and worshipped him. And when we look at what the wise men did to get to this place, to get to Jesus in the first place, it tells us a lot about their worship. And so my final point I want to share this morning is this: we worship through a heart of sacrifice. The reality is the wise men had sacrificed a great deal to come all that way to worship the Lord. And they sacrificed in a couple different ways. And I want to share two with you this morning. Number one is this: they sacrificed their time, right? Their journey to come and find and worship the Lord. It was a long journey. Now, the text doesn't tell us how long. No one really knows how long. There's a lot of speculations about that. Theologians and historians tell us that it could have been anywhere from a number of months that they traveled to even maybe a year or year and a half. But either way, when you're talking about traveling back in these days, it was quite a journey. These guys spent months on camels just so that they could come and worship Jesus. They worshiped by sacrificing their time. Time they could have spent being comfortable back home, right? Time they could have spent relaxing or enjoying their wealth. But instead, they gave that up to come and worship this newborn King, the King of Kings. And the question we have to ask ourselves is how well do we do when it comes to our time? Are we willing to sacrifice our time to worship the Lord? What about Sundays? Just getting up on Sunday mornings right now, giving Him that time to spend with Him. But again, it's not just about Sundays. It's every day of our life. Are we giving Him that time? Are we sacrificing that time to worship the Lord? Because if we want to be people who worship fully, it's going to mean sacrificing our time for Him. Now, these wise men, they didn't just sacrifice their time, though. They also, number two, they sacrificed their treasures. In verse 11, it says, they opened their treasures and presented Him with gifts. There were many other things they could have done with their treasures, right? But instead, they used their treasures to humbly worship the newborn King. Now, the interesting thing is, a lot of people don't necessarily see giving as an act of worship. But when we honor God with our money, with our resources, it is. It's worship to the Lord. It's being good stewards of what He's given us. It's glorifying Him with all that we have. Everything. That is worship to the Lord. It's showing God that He's more important to us than anything, even our treasures, even our stuff, right? You see, the reality is God doesn't need our money. He doesn't need our treasures because it's all His anyways. He can have whatever He wants. But when we give with the right heart to the Lord, it shows that we trust the Lord with this area of our life, whether it's our time, whether it's our money, whether it's our resources. We're saying that it's Yours, Lord. And it shows that we trust Him with these areas of our life. It shows that He is more important to us than our time, than our stuff, than our treasures. It shows that He is our greatest treasure when we worship the Lord this way. And so we have to ask ourselves, are we worshiping the Lord with a heart of sacrifice? Or are we worshiping Him fully by giving of our time, giving of our resources? I encourage all of us this year to escape the trap of what the world has made Christmas out to be. This year, let's take time to truly worship the King, to worship Him fully, but by living obediently, but by submitting to His will, and by sacrificing our time and our treasures or whatever He may ask of us. Let's seek to worship the one, right, who willingly left His place of glory to be born as a babe in a manger, to live in this cold and dark and sinful world where He would eventually die a brutal and lonely death. Why? For us. So that we might experience forgiveness and eternal life with Him and the Father. He is the one and only one who is worthy of our worship. And we are called to worship Him fully. For unto us a child is born in the city of David, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. So as we head into this Christmas season, let us rethink how we do Christmas and make sure that we're starting by worshiping Him fully. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for just this opportunity as we come off of Thanksgiving. What a great weekend, Lord, to be thankful for you. What a great weekend to realize how amazing you are. And because of that thankfulness, Lord, we want to learn how to worship you fully, Lord. To worship you with our lives, Lord. Not just singing on Sunday mornings, but Lord, that we would learn to make worship be a part of who we are, Lord. That we would do all things to glorify you. That when we bring glory to you, that's worship, Lord. When we honor you with our lives, that's worship. Whether that's being obedient, whether that's submitting, whether that's sacrificing, Lord, whether that's singing praise, whatever it may be, Lord, we want to be people who fully worship you. And as we head into this Christmas season, Lord, it's so easy to get caught up, Lord, in the excitement of gifts and whatnot and lose focus and forget the fact that you are the reason for the season, Lord. And so we want to seek you. We want to live our lives for you, Lord, this Christmas season. And so as we head in, as December is fast approaching, Lord, as Christmas is quickly coming our direction, Lord, we want to glorify you this Christmas season. We want to worship you fully. And so teach us how to do that. Continue to speak to us. Continue to challenge us and encourage us and help us become the men and women of God that you've called us to be. People that, Lord, worship you fully, not just in the Christmas season, but throughout the year, every day of our lives, Lord. And so we thank you for these things. We give you this word. May you allow it to speak to each of us where we're at. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.